Well, I don't know about you, but that made me want to march. Except I don't know where I'm going to march to, except right out the door. But Major Don asked Tracy and I to take part in the service today, so that wouldn't be a good idea. I want to welcome you all this morning. Welcome our core family. Welcome to their families who have joined them this morning, and to our friends who have joined us to encourage us, and to our visitors. I don't want you to leave without somebody at least saying, come have a cup of tea or coffee afterwards, or how are you, or enjoy the sunshine, or nice to see you. I'm sure that you've already been greeted once or twice over. It's my privilege to lead the team this morning, but I have a great empathy for Major Don. We might think that he writes a sermon on Friday and delivers it on Sunday, but it was my privilege to be part of a team this morning that I'm just going to tell you how many people it takes to do this service. Ed on the PowerPoint and the hymns, and everything has to be to him by Tuesday or Wednesday. Rose in the office to print the bulletin has to be there by Tuesday so that her proofreaders can have it Tuesday and Wednesday so that she can print it on Thursday. Steve this morning, the choral director, to coordinate when our choral group was going to sing and how long they had to stand and if they were going to sing it twice. And then there's Carl on the organ who said he had to look up a song and practice it this morning because it's not a regular song. And Hope, who has to fill in for Gwen today because she's with her daughter. I haven't finished yet. And Major Don, he's on vacation. I had to put that in because if he listens to this service when he comes home, I just want him to know how I feel. I had to have the sermon notes ready by Wednesday or Thursday for our tech coordinator, Ed, to put it all on the overhead because I'm PowerPoint illiterate almost, and it was too big a learning curve for me. And then there's the greeters at the door, and somebody made sure the offering plates were here this week. If you weren't here last week, we couldn't even find a hat to pass. But we did manage. And here we are. And you'll have a cup of tea and coffee afterwards, which is Shirley and John looking after it. I don't know if you counted how many people put this service together, but it's pretty amazing. And if you think it's easily done. And so I learned this week, it has nothing to do with the preacher. Hey, Major Don. It has everything to do with the team that puts it together that allows God to speak through whoever is bringing the message. So with that, I want to welcome you. I want to thank all of you who have helped out and are following my miscues and everything today. We're excited, Tracy and I, to be here. It just kind of made sense for him to ask a mother and a daughter to do a Mother's Day service. Well, I think you're in for a treat because it's not going to be like any other service you've had.
Well, good morning and welcome. Our call to worship is going to be the first verse of our song. We're going to read it through together. Then I'm just going to open in a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing through all four verses. But warning, there is an intro. So we'll just look to Graham and to David to get that and hopefully get it right, but enjoy it. So let's read this first verse together. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, proclaiming peace, announcing news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns. Would you please stand with us? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you do reign. You reign in this world. You are over all things. And no matter the news that we hear, no matter the circumstances that we have entered into this building with today, you reign in our lives. May we look to you. May we be expectant of what you are going to say to us today through the worship, through the word, and through everything today. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And for just those who are listening in, that was song 254 in your songbooks. The next song we're going to sing is Be Glad in the Lord and Rejoice, which is song 486 in your songbooks. There are three verses. I've asked the band and the piano and organ, we're going to sing the first two verses, and then there's going to just be a slight pause before we sing our final verse. Though darkness surround you day by day, your sky by the night be o'ercast, let nothing your spirit dismay, but trust till the danger is past. Isn't it awesome to think of the powerful God that we serve, that no matter what we're going through today, no matter what our hearts are feeling, whether we're mourning the loss of a loved one or a mother that we miss, we have a God that is faithful and that he is with us through that. So there is nothing that we need to be dismayed by, because we can trust that the danger is past. Can we sing the last verse and the chorus twice over, please? Thank you. May be seated.
Well, the announcements today, if I can find the bulletin. Two announcements that aren't in the bulletin, and let me do that first because I have people in the congregation who are to remind me to make sure I tell them. September 27th, 29th, mark your calendar now, men. There is a men's retreat at Newport Adventure Camp in Huntsville. And General Brian Peddle, retired, is the special guest for it. And posters and announcements have been flying through the email, and I don't know, men, if you've received anything yet, but you need to be made aware of that, because Lyle and Dave Pitcher have been talking about it already. So you'll want to consider the information. It says, your men in your congregation and community are welcome to come together to deepen their faith, forge stronger bonds, and spread the word. Sounds like a good purpose to a men's retreat, if you ask me. And the other one that's not in the bulletin, there is a ladies' event during our anniversary, our 140th anniversary, on the Saturday. And I just need somebody to remind me the date of the Saturday. Eighth. Thank you. It is free, and you can invite however you'd like to come, but you need to get a ticket. They're free. The tickets are free, but you need to get a ticket from Tracy, myself, Grace, or Judy. They'll be here every Sunday up to that event. You just need to get a ticket so that we can get a count, because we can say sign up on the sheet outside. And you know what happens? We talk all the way down the corridor and we don't sign up. But if you have to have a ticket, you'll come and get it from us. And the big word, free. That is on Saturday, June the 8th, at 1:30 till about 3 o'clock, so you can plan your whole day around that. I should give the band a quiz. Do you know what time you meet and what day you meet and how long you meet? Oh, that doesn't look promising. Junior band and senior band and timbrels this week, and we come back together next Sunday, and Jamie and Karen Holmes will be conducting the service, and you will want to be in prayer for them, because as I said, there's a lot of dynamics to coordinate when you're doing the service. And so I leave that with you. I know we have the offering plates, and we also have someone to take up the offering. So we'll enjoy Hope and Carl on the piano and organ. Father, we bow before you with grateful hearts for all that you have provided and given us. And as we give back an offering, a tithe, that expresses our love and appreciation for all you've bestowed upon us, I pray that you would just bless it. Bless those who will administer the expenses of the Corps and of the Salvation Army through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 13, verse 31. And if you have a Bible, turn to it. Last week, Major Grace retired, grace to all of us who know her, suggested that we bring our Bibles to church. I wonder how many found their Bibles this week, dusted them off, and brought them. I always say when we went to school, we never went to class without the textbook. And yet so often we come to be taught and we forget the textbook. So just a word of challenge. I chose this passage of scripture this morning just because I like the picture in it. The sermon is not about this passage of scripture, but the thought I want to leave with you in the reading of this passage is this. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The picture I want you to see of our God this morning as we read this passage of scripture is Jesus saying, I long to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That hen wanted to protect. That hen wanted to nurture. That hen wanted to guide her chicks. And they all knew the picture of the hen and what the hen does. That's a picture of our God today. Not just on Mother's Day, but the mother instinct. The instinct of gathering the children together to protect, to provide, to be present in their life, and to be with them always. May God bless his word. The band.
We have one little girl around, but all of you are children. All of you have had a mother. All of you are children, so you all get to be my children for the children's story this morning. God has a special place in his heart for all
women who look after children. And he has a special place in his heart, especially for those who have a love for the Lord. In Exodus, we know, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the passage, to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that God has given you. We are taught to honor our parents, to show them and demonstrate love. But our parents and their actions can also demonstrate God's love for us. When I look at this, it's a purse. How many of you carry a purse? Or you can remember your mother's carrying a backpack or a little clutch, something to maybe have some makeup in or change in or that kind of thing. My mom doesn't carry around purses as much as she used to. But growing up, when my mom would reach into her purse, inevitably she had something that would help me. And there's some few things I have in my bag this morning that we can learn from. How many of you have ever, getting a lot of, tissues. Tissues are good for drying our tears when we're sad and when we're hurt. I knew I could count on my mom to provide me with tissues to help me wipe away the tears. But they're also a powerful reminder that one day, for those who love Jesus with all of their hearts, will one day be with him in heaven, and he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain, sorrow, sickness. Sometimes I say, Lord, even so, come now. We're all waiting as we see the things that are happening in the world. But let that be a reminder the next time you use a tissue that God loves you and he is there to catch your tears, but also to wipe them away. A comb. Whenever I would go out and we'd go to a shopping mall or things like that, my mom always wanted me to look my best. She didn't want me to come in and have my hair all over the place on Sunday morning. She always had a comb in her pocket or in her purse. Or she'd ask my dad for his to straighten out our hair. This is a good reminder that when we leave the house, that we are representing God. When we love the Lord Jesus, we are his ambassadors when we leave the house, and we need to present ourselves in a wonderful way. We need to show the love of God to all those we come in contact with, whether it be with me, with my students, and the teachers that I interact with, whether it be with you if you're still working, or your grandchildren, or your neighbors. We have to put on the helmet of salvation every day, and we have to guard ourselves and be prepared for what's out there. Band-aids. Always good for a scraped knee. Always helped. They didn't necessarily take the pain away, but they went a long way. A little band-aid on a little tiny scratch could go a long way to cheer me up. But it's also a reminder that these, underneath the band-aids, healing begins. When we love Jesus, he comes and he binds the brokenhearted. He comes and he heals our hearts so that we can live with him eternally in heaven. Sweets. Always good. Now, there was always men growing up in my church that I could always go shake their hand and inevitably get a candy. And my mom would say, keep it till the sermon. And I would eat it then and pop that sweet and enjoy this taste of the sweetness in my mouth. It's always a reminder that the words that come out of our mouth are to be sweet. They're to be kind. They are to encourage and uplift, not to tear down. But the words and the sweetness, may it be a reminder the next time you take a candy into your mouth, may the words of my mouth be pleasing to the Lord. And probably, for me, one of the most important things, it just so happens that my purse is big enough for today. My mom has smaller versions, as I'm sure many of us do, if it'll come out. Moms are helpful. Mama. The Word of God. Thank you. The Word of God. I'm sure that many of us have different Bibles in different languages, different versions, some that are probably collecting dust, some that we haven't picked up in a while. But I will always remember that my mom, watching her spend time in the Word, watching her love her Lord and growing in her understanding of who he is and what he wants for her by being in her in the Word. And may this just be a challenging reminder that we need to be in the Word daily. We need to learn from it. I've heard, how many of you have heard the basic instructions before leaving Earth? This Bible contains so many powerful stories and reminders of God's love, challenges of for us, rules for us to follow. But may you be challenged today and this week to spend time reading His Word and knowing that He loves you like a mother's love, and from the Scripture, like He wants to gather us under His wings. He wants to protect us, and we need all of these things so that we can serve Him faithfully. Thank you. Our next song is song 807 in your songbooks. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. A very popular love song of children and still of my heart as an adult. There are three verses, and we're going to sing the first, all three. On the third verse, the band is going to be, they're not going to play. You're going to be asked to come down and join your families for the sermon. So let's stand together as we sing, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Do you know that today? Do you know Jesus loves you with all of His heart? Let's sing together.
Everybody's starting to run around now because I'm off script. It's okay, Linda. Penny, come stand here with me. You and I are going to sing a duet. No? You ask some of the ladies from Evergreen. They know they've been put on the spot lots. But I want you to turn around now. I want you to watch this solo. It's going to be a duet, right? I'm going to sing, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and you're going to sign it. I stood there and watched you do this, and it's a solo performance. Okay, we're ready. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the belong. They are weak, but He
Thank you, Penny.
You're welcome. Thank you. The rest of you can be seated and sigh of relief. That won't happen.
Is a phone conversation between a mother and a daughter. But you can see I can't hold a cell phone and pretend and hold a microphone and the words. So you just imagine that this is a phone conversation.
Didn't wake you.
It's never too late.
My heart is so broken.
Honey, it will be okay.
I wish you were here now.
I wish I was too.
Don't know what I'd do without you.
If I could take the hurt all away, I'd gladly walk in your shoes. I'd rather it be happening to me than you. I'd love to turn your tears into laughter and all of your rain to sunshine. But since I can't take it, let's make it yours and mine.
I heard from the doctor.
I know the bad news. I've been praying for you.
I don't understand it.
Sometimes life isn't fair.
Seems like more than I can bear.
If I could take the fear all away, I'd gladly walk in your shoes. I'd rather it be happening to me than you. I'd love to turn your tears into laughter and all of your rain to sunshine. But since I can't take it,
Let's make it yours and mine.
I'll laugh with you, cry with you, I'd even die for you.
Together we can make it through.
If I could take the hurt all away, I'd gladly walk in your shoes. I'd rather it be happening to me than you. I'd love to turn your tears into laughter and all of your rain to sunshine. Since I can't take it, let's make it yours and mine. But since I can't take it, let's make it yours and mine.
Kleenex in my pocket. Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are remembering or celebrating a mom today. Mother's Day has always been a thought-filled day for me, as I think back through my childhood and through motherhood. Have you ever thought about how many kinds of mothers there are? There's mom, there's stepmom, there's surrogate mom, there's adoptive mom, there's a wannabe mom, there's a grieving mom, there's a grandmom, there's a single mom. And then there are absent moms, and that's when dads are filling the role of mother as best they can. And then there is the other side of Mother's Day, the children who consider those who don't know or never knew their moms. And there are children who are still being mothered, or there are children who have outgrown needing a mom. And then there's those of us missing a mom, grieving a mom. I would bet, if I was a betting woman, that includes just about every one of us here this morning. That's quite a congregation, isn't it? And a challenge to select a passage of Scripture to speak on. And this morning I've chosen to speak on Hebrews 10:24. Or better said, it chose me. It's a verse that's been constantly in my face, so to speak, as I prepared for my ladies' Bible studies the past 2 weeks. And I believe Hebrews 10:24 and 25 chose me. And it reads, "Let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So what can we consider? The verse starts out with consider, the word consider. A little background first. Discouragement had made the Hebrews avoid community at the very time that they needed it most. Michael Kelly writes, "For the Hebrews, it was persecution. This letter was written to a group of persecuted Christians who, based on what we've read in the letter, were teetering on the edge of going back to their former way of life. And that's why you find such a strong emphasis on perseverance. It's because those who persevere to the end show their faith to be true and authentic. For these Christians, then, one of the ways, maybe even the primary way that they demonstrated their lasting commitment to faith in Jesus was the fact that they were willing to keep showing up. This is no small thing for them," Michael writes. "Showing up and meeting together marked them as a community of believers. And once they were marked, they were targeted. Property was seized, prison terms were handed out, jobs were lost, and livelihoods were in jeopardy, but on they came." So let's consider what we are to spur one another on towards. The first thing that we read in this verse is, can spur one another on to love. Our love, when you think of it, is often misplaced on inanimate objects, ideas, dreams that expend our energy and our time. But real love, God's kind of love, is when it's spent on others. Moms, how many love changing a messy diaper? Loads of laundry. How many loved feverish nights? Children coming in late after curfew, your adult child going through treatments of some kind, or making detrimental choices and decisions, rejecting you and rejecting your God. January 24th, 1978, the headlines read, "The Soviet satellite Cosmos 954 burned up in Earth's atmosphere, scattering radioactive debris all over Canada's Northwest Territories." I don't know if you remember that day, but I remember it vividly. The articles in the news, re-entry into the atmosphere, thus may represent a potential for nuclear contamination. When a Soviet nuclear-powered satellite crashed into Canada and scattered radioactive debris everywhere. January 24th, 1978. My firstborn Trevor was laying in my arms. He was exactly 2 months and 3 days old. And I told him, rocking him, tears flowing down my cheeks, I've brought you into this world of potential wars. You'll be going to school in 5 years and then for school for 13 more years and 4 years of university and 45 more years of work. And if you retire, if you reach it, I'm sobbing all the while. As I related the story to my father said to me, while changing one of those gas mask kind of diapers, he said to me, if you choose to stand here and do nothing because of the bleak outlook of a headline in the news, your son will surely die all the sooner. He was my son, and in that rocking chair in the nursery, I didn't know if the terrible twos might be as terrible as they said they would be, or any of the choices he would make as a teenager as he reached for his independence, and nor did I know the man he would grow to be. But I just loved my baby so much. If you get the love right, you'll get the work right. Consider what we can do to spur one another to love and good works. What are we to spur one another on toward? The second point, and spur unto good works. So that's not the conclusion of my Sputnik story, that messy diaper. I put on my gas mask, and I revived a joy and song in my heart and changed that diaper plus hundreds, maybe thousands more through the years. So when you stop to think about it, for God so loved the world that he did something. When we read, spur one another to love and good works, God is our example. God loved us so much, he sent his only son to die. Think for a moment. I loved my children not knowing what a day would hold. But God loved us knowing every good and bad choice we would ever make. He knew every good and ugly truth there was to know about us. And he loved us so much, enough to send his son. Well, let's consider how we can spur each other on to love. A bit of wisdom in this verse. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up. Some translations say don't forsake, don't neglect, don't desert, don't abandon meeting together. Before Lyle and I had Trevor, we were excited to celebrate two joyful events in our lives, our fourth anniversary and a child on the way. We were redecorating the nursery and had already been underway doing that for a year. Now everything was coming together as planned, but the unthinkable happened at 4.5 months. 4.5 months into our pregnancy, I lost the baby. How easy it would be to give up meeting together with brothers and sisters in Christ, to abandon being cared for. I remember the doctor telling me, it's good you lost it. It may have been born missing an arm. Other asked, what were you eating? Did you lift anything? There were all kinds of excuses to be found to stay away from our ladies' Sunday school class, the Women's Missionary Society, and even morning and evening worship services. We think maybe, even believe, that it might be safer in isolation. That's because truly meeting together involves a level of self-disclosure that hurts. Sometimes it hurts a lot. We sometimes just need to be reminded that God is bigger than our hurts, and he wants to meet us where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Michael Kelly writes, meeting together, or meeting together, in the latter, we aren't spectators. Instead, we are active participants longing for just a connection with others, but the kind of connection that will truly help us to follow Jesus. In my mournful circumstance, what I would have missed if I'd have given up meeting together were a few things. The blessing of others caring for my broken heart. The blessings of others caring for my husband, who was hurting also. I would have missed sharing life stories of victory in Jesus. And I would have missed being loved and spurred on. I can't truly describe to you the joy that rekindled in my heart and soul. As a young couple, we were loved, and their good works in their drawing alongside of us was a blessing. God met my needs in those days through others and continues to do that. Last week, we heard 5 testimonies. Oh, I guess I am going to say a few other names this morning, but I won't have you come forward like I had Penny come forward. Last week, we heard 5 testimonies. Jennifer blessed us. God met her in their need through our prayers. That has stuck with me all week. That has spurred me on. She didn't know that. But when we come together and we speak and share with one another, we spur. Tracy reminded us of our influence down through the years, whether you know it or not. Maybe it'd be good for us to know a couple of these things to spur us on. But I'm sure you could all share a time when somebody just spoke at the right time, didn't know what you were going through, but it carried you through. Karen was encouraged by the band singing impromptu praise, and Kester sharing his experience with the joy that music brings. Music was often how truth was carried and delivered in the scriptures. It's delivered on a soul level, profoundly impacting listeners. Music aids us in hiding God's word in our hearts. And I'm sure if I asked you to give me an impromptu little solo of a scripture verse to music that you've learned and carried with you all of these years, you would agree with Karen and Kester. Let that spur you on to enjoy the music. And in a few minutes, I believe we're going to experience music again in a very soul-felt manner. And then there's Neil. He was so glad Jesus is coming again. It had an impact on me this time, and I mentioned it twice this week, how a young man stood up in the service and said, "I'm so glad Jesus is coming again." Neil doesn't know. I've been quoting him all week. But that's what happens when we gather together and we share. So that's the wisdom, don't give up meeting together. And here's the warning, as some are in the habit of doing. Their habit was a result of persecution, the Hebrews, trials and temptations. And let me add this morning, it led to isolation, not because of the fear of persecution, but our absenteeism can become a habit. Could be possibly because of lack of transportation, health issues, depression, a broken heart, a false accusation, rejection, an unattended hurt. As a result, discouragement sets in and becomes a habit of neglecting getting together. Let me add, as for me, it becomes easier and easier to stay away and not make the effort. I would never have thought that of myself until COVID, when we were so isolated. And then the church doors opened, everything opened up, and fear set in. And it would have been so easy. Had Grace not said, I'm going back to church. A spur. Wes McAdams wrote, the Hebrew writer is telling them to grow closer together. He is telling them to figure out ways to rekindle the desire in each other to love and do good works. He is telling them to encourage each other more and more so that no one walks away from Christ. He is telling them not to turn their backs on the body of believers, on the church's togetherness. Together, meeting together in homes, two or three gathered together in a coffee shop, small groups, Bible studies, Sunday meetings. I met a lady in church who I imagined to be just a bit above me. By economics that I measured by the world's standards. By her attire, by the size of her home. Above all else, she was the wife of my husband's boss. Have you ever measured yourself against someone else? The car they drive? The fashions? Where they vacation? Our beautiful daughter, Tracy, who you've experienced today, had a severe case of strabismus and had her first eye surgery before she was 14 months old. And she got her guckies, as she called her glasses. The day she was fitted for her glasses at the optometrist, people stared. And strangers, you know, they always have to comment. Oh, what a shame, so early to have glasses. And a second comment, what's wrong with your daughter? And as they adjusted her glasses, the staff tried to comfort me. And I'm trying to keep her from wiggling, and all the while, you know, they're whispering, how sweet you look, Tracy. But it didn't help. Tracy was full of giggles. I was defeated by the stares and the comments from strangers that hurt in the moment. And we got in the car. I couldn't go home to an empty house. Lyle was at work. Tracy was full of giggles. Never once did she touch her glasses. All through her toddler stage, she never touched her glasses. What a blessing. But I remembered the comments. Did I say, thank you, Lord, she's not touching her glasses and I don't have to clean them a million times? I was crushed. I drove to Donna's home. Thankful for another blessing, she was home. She worked part-time. I'd never done anything social with her. I didn't feel like I fit in her category of economics and whatever we women can measure against. And I'm not letting you men off the hook. You can measure by the size of a car, size of the truck, the golf clubs they have, how athletic they are, whatever. We all do the same thing. And Donna was the house I chose to go to that day. Her example, while meeting together drew me. She always had something positive to say in conversations. She greeted people warmly. She shared in discussions about her love of God. I rang the doorbell, and when she opened the door, I don't think she was expecting me to be at the door, and it was before Prime delivery and all that kind of stuff. I said to her, first words out of my mouth, just stare at her while I get used to people staring at her before I take her out in public. Donna scooped Tracy out of my arms, and into the home we went. Did I notice the big house? Did I notice what we sat on? Did I notice what she had on the walls? What I felt was so helpless and discouraged. And I was drawn and found solace in the company of a bit of a stranger to me, but a known fellow believer. I became aware of the depth of her heart from meeting together. So let's consider why we should spur one another on. Neil, here's the part of this sermon you're going to love. Let us consider why we should spur one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. There is wisdom and warning in God's word for us to come together, more as you see the day approaching. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for that great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And isolation is a good place to devour a believer. As part of my sermon this morning, I would like us to sing a song that Carl and Hope are going to play for us. Jesus is coming again. I'd like to just sort of interrupt the sermon and have you stand and sing this with me. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. There's three verses and we'll sing it right through. Marvelous message we bring. You may be seated. We sing this with exuberance, but does it actually motivate us? Does it actually motivate us to want to get together, as some are in the habit of doing? Of getting together or giving up and neglecting what we can bring to getting together. There are those among us who have drifted away, lost their first love. And there are those among us who have found the habit of staying away easy. And there are those in our families, our social circles, who are lost. Together, Jesus meets us in one another to stir us up to love and to encourage good works. So now what? Consider meeting together. Don't give up meeting together. We know that the day of Christ's return is closer than it was even yesterday. And we know of God's great love demonstrated through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his promise to return. You can be certain that he lives, he loves, and someday you will walk with him and see him face to face. We know who's absent. We know who's drifting. We even know some who are lost without Christ. And you may be that certain person that God will use to lead a soul to the Christ of Calvary. You may be that certain one who will encourage a lonely heart, a discouraged mind, a defeated person, a tired mom, a grieving husband, a weary traveler, a lost soul. You can be certain today God wants to use you to spur one another on, because you are gathered here today, and God will use a certain someone to spur you on. The one thing I'm certain of, when we walk with the Lord, we will see him face to face one day. And I will thank him for everyone he sent my way to spur me on to love and good works. I invite our choral group to sing. The Lord.
Yeah.
morning, you're considering how you might spur someone on. Maybe this morning you're considering you want to make yourself available to the Lord to spur, to encourage, to draw alongside. Maybe you want to ask the Lord to renew your joy in meeting together. Maybe you want to avail yourself to God's presence and his provision and his pardon. As we consider this morning, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day near. I'm going to ask you to stand as I'm going to ask the choral group if they would sing this song again. And maybe there's lines in it you'd like to sing. Stand. Maybe you really need to consider the words that's been sung to us this morning. Maybe you need to consider God so loved you. That love spurred him on to plan from the beginning to send a Savior. Isn't that awesome? He did that for you today. Whatever your mother memories are, some are good, some aren't so good. Some are grieving. But we have a God who loves us. And you are not here by accident this morning. God has a purpose for you today. And I trust that you will avail yourself to that. Would you mind singing again for us? To the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, as we bow before you in these moments, I thank you, first of all, for your love, for that unquenchable love that comes to us no matter our stance or relationship with you, but how you desire for each one of us to become part of the family of God. I pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, that indeed you will go with us, and this we are certain of. But let us take what we have heard today to heart, and let us spur one another on in our faith, in coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Let us spur each other on in times of that are discouraging, times that may be hard, times of sickness, whatever they may be. And in the good times that we will spur one another on in the Word that will help us to grow, to become more like you, to be your people in a world that desperately needs you. Now go with us, bless us, and keep us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The benediction. Oh. Oh, Father.